Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
I'd like to say something.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
God, there was one week when you wore sweatpants every day.
Oh, you know what? If they were Sean John sweatpants, it would have been fine. But because they're Costco brand, it's like the worst thing I could do.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Well, I'm rolling out, come on, cried the whole night.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a Wednesday, a rainy Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Start our story coming up in 10 minutes. I have a rivalry conversation I want to have in the final hour of the show. Also, one team is accusing another team of cheating.
Shocking. I'm guessing that team lost.
Yeah, does the team that wins ever accuse the team that they beat of cheating?
No.
You're like, not only did we beat them, they cheated too. We still beat them.
If anything, they remember a moment. They go, yeah, we showed, like the Cardinals did this about Acuna and the Braves. They were like, yeah, Acuna tried to show us up.
They did, yeah, at the end of that series.
Like, okay, I get that, but.
Sure.
A winning team doesn't go, you know, we won despite their cheating. That never happens. It's always the person that loses. You know, they cheated. What?
Right. Immediately after the game. We'll get to that. I saw that headline earlier today. And the rivalry conversation will center around a rivalry that you don't actually buy into that's a rivalry. Like you hear like, oh, that's a good rivalry. And you're like, no, it's not. Who says that? We'll get to that. We'll explain coming up in the final hour. Let's get to a couple of quarterback notes, though, shall we? It's an emotional day. Brandon Sprague. It's an emotional day today.
Is it?
I mean, no, not really.
It's kind of stormy as if it's an emotional. Right now, the
those
notebook.
Those are God's tears because Jesus got benched in Nashville.
This is when the notebook turned in the movies, when it was stormy like this and they finally made up and kissed.
Yeah, that's what it took. Well, there's no making up in Tennessee, as it was officially announced yesterday by Mike Vrabel and his killer mustache that Marcus Mariota, number two overall pick, is now the number two quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. They're going to start Ryan Tannehill going forward. Marcus Mariota is the GOAT for one reason, and that is he's the GOAT person of all time in sports. And here he is doing a little press conference yesterday after the news, just being same old Marcus, talking about how he wants to be a good teammate.
Disappointment. I know it is going to be different. I haven't really been in this role for a long time, really at all in my career. So, I'm going to do everything I can to help Ryan and help this team.
Weird to hear people laughing in the background.
NFL locker rooms kind of suck. There's so many people and they're always doing different things.
Weird setting for it. He also continued, and this is a conversation, a poll question we have. Is it the end, Marcus?
You know, I, to the day that I die, I believe that I gave all that I got. And, you know, no matter what, I can learn and grow from this situation. This isn't going to bring me down. This isn't going to, end my career. This is an opportunity for me to grow, and I'm going to make the most of it.
He's a good dude, man. He's a good dude, but that good dude is out of a starting quarterback job for the time being. What do we make of Ryan Tannehill now the starter in Tennessee?
I don't think it matters. In fact, I'll give you a hot take here, and I actually think it's going to be lukewarm. He's going to start in like 3 or 4 weeks.
You think they flip-flop it?
Dude, Ryan Tannehill sucks, yeah. And you know he can prove me wrong, but I just don't think there's a difference between them. If you told me Marcus starts in week 11 or 12, I'm not going to be surprised. The Titans are kind of a cluster, and I think their head coach right now is a little in over his head, and he doesn't know quite how to swim or even what to do in this moment. I saw these clips. I saw his locker room press conference. I thought it was really cool, and not that he got replaced, but to handle a moment like that, I don't know how many people right now listening professionally have had that happen to you. I have, and it sucks. It's not easy. It's not enjoyable. You kind of want to go, you want to lash out and you want to go, well, they cheated, right? You want to blame other people. I thought he did the best thing you could do. He took accountability. Mm-hmm. He said he's going to be there to support Ryan Tannehill. He's going to do what it takes as a teammate. He is a stand-up class act guy. Everybody in the NFL should want a guy like that in their locker room. He's going to catch on. He'll be fine. He may even get a chance down the road to be a franchise guy. I personally don't think it's ever happening for him again. But that doesn't mean your career is done. That doesn't mean you can't go be productive and helpful and benefit a team. This guy could be in the NFL for 15 years. The attitude alone, the work ethic, the community stuff, every NFL team would line up to have Marcus Mariota as a backup option on their NFL
team.
Without
a doubt,
he can fill in. And look, say what you want about him. I've been critical. I've also been complimentary. He has moments where he still can show you, I can win. It just, he hasn't shown that he can win on a very high level yet. So I personally don't think he's ever going to be a franchise guy. I do think this is kind of the end of that. But as classy as he is and as great a teammate as he is, I hope he catches on. And that guy should be in the NFL for 15 years. I would love to have Marcus Mariota on any team I root for just from that attitude.
Yeah, he'd immediately become one of the better backups in the league. There's no doubt about it. He's going to have his pick of the litter this offseason, and I think that's the best thing that's ever happened to him in his career is the fact that he's going to get to decide where he wants to go and isn't going to be forced on some crappy organization that's going to thrust him into duty and he's, you know, not going to have any support around him. This is not a surprising storyline. I think we all kind of expected this. My only thing all along is you can't, and I agree with you that they're going to. It's such a bad look to play the flip-flop game.
You feel like they're going to, though, right?
Oh, they for sure are. Ryan, did anybody watch Ryan Tannehill in Denver on Sunday when he came in? He was awful. Like, he's not a good quarterback. That's the thing that I've always chuckled with this season, with the talk of benching Mariota. It's like, really? Like, Tannehill's the guy?
Right.
I've seen that movie. I'm not saying that Mariota's a stud or a great starting quarterback because he hasn't been this year. He's really bad on Sunday, especially. When you play that flip-flop game of this guy's our guy in week 3 and then this guy's our guy in week 6 and wait, he sucks now, so let's go back to the other guy that we already gave up on, but now we need him to win games in week 11. It's just a really bad look, and I think it's an easy way to lose the locker room if they haven't already lost the locker room. You saw a bit of that sentiment on Sunday after the game. I mentioned it on the show yesterday. Like, Delanie Walker was almost in tears talking about this on Sunday. Guys in that locker room
love
him.
He also tweeted at the team. He tweeted at the team.
Yeah, the team took to Twitter. I don't even know if we brought this up yesterday, but they took to Twitter saying, like, basically, the announcement coming. Is it Tannehill or is it Mariota? Delanie Walker was like, really? Like, no wonder nobody takes this seriously. Our own team account is doing this?
You're dividing your fan base on your own Twitter account.
About two guys that are on the same team?
Like the Blazers going, who should be an all-star more, Dame or CJ?
Which guy do you prefer, honk for CJ and scream for Dame? Like, it's so dumb, man. So it's a really bad look for them. And look, as long as this is your move the rest of the season, that's fine. I think most Mariota stands, if you will, would say, good. You're not going anywhere. He's not going to accomplish anything. We know it's not working. Don't have any more wear and tear on your body for the next couple of months. Just go hang out, handle the clipboard, have your pick of the litter in the offseason. But I doubt that's going to happen because we know how Ryan Tannehill is. The other news in quarterback play in the National Football League, not that anybody really cares about this, but thought it was a bad look nonetheless, despite them tanking. We know it's already a bad organization. They have now flip-flopped like Michael Scott. Snip, 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 snip.
Snip, snap, snip, snap.
From Josh Rosen to Fitzpatrick
multiple
times.
Do you have any idea the mental wear 3 vasectomies has on you?
So during the game, if you miss it, Rosen obviously was starting against the Redskins on Sunday. He was bad. He got benched.
Oh, he was really bad.
Fitzpatrick came in, and he was slightly less bad than Josh Rosen. Led him to a touchdown, had a 2-point conversion to try and win. But after the game and into Monday, Flores, their head coach, immediately said, look, Rosen's our guy. He just didn't play well on Sunday. He's still our guy. And everybody's like, oh, okay, no quarterback change. Josh Rosen's going to be the guy. Ryan Fitzpatrick will be the starting quarterback going forward for the Miami Dolphins.
Do you see a common theme here between these two organizations?
You know, I do. There's a couple of correlations I can find.
You could probably lump about 4 to 5 other organizations into this category and go, wonder why you're not a legit Super Bowl contender in this league.
Can we play the fun over-under? So the Miami Dolphins on Sunday, in which I just mentioned Ryan Fitzpatrick will be their starter, they play the Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo is
one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Yeah.
How long will Ryan Fitzpatrick remain in that game?
I think he plays the whole game.
You think they give him the whole game?
Unless he's knocked out with an injury, I think they let it. It's a revenge game for Fitzpatrick. This is where it started.
This was his revenge game for Fitzmagic.
What's the other explanation for why you wouldn't play a young quarterback that might end up being a valuable asset for you, even though you'll end up getting the number one pick? Explain that one to
me. The only theory I can come up with is they are genuinely curious what Rosen can bring the rest of the way. And Buffalo nearly killed Tom Brady. And if they can nearly kill Tom Brady, Rosen does not stand a chance. So maybe you punt on this week. Give the old guy a crack.
You know, that's actually a very fair point.
And then you go back to Rosen after 1 week.
I'm buying it.
Okay.
Because I don't think they're going to score more than 10 points in this game.
No, it's just not going to be pretty. So there you go. Rosen was the guy going into Sunday. Then it was Fitzpatrick. And then it was, don't worry, Rosen's still our guy. Rosen's still our guy. And then today, nope, it's Fitzpatrick. So there's the Miami Dolphins for you.
What's the lowest ticket price you think you could get to go to Dolphins at Bills? Tell me that number. Because I have the number in front of me.
You can get in maybe for, what, $7 or $8?
It has to be $10. It has to be. And if it's not, they are doing themselves no favors.
I know. You guys are close. $69.
Are you kidding me?
It's the lowest number, and there's only two tickets at that price.
What the hell is... That has to be Bills fans.
Well, that stadium's not very... It's not massive. How many people does that stadium hold? It's one of those smaller-ish
ones,
right?
They redid it, I think, a couple of years back.
Yeah, but it's still like 60,000, isn't it?
That's not bad.
Was it still Sun Life? Or not Sun Life, but...
I think it's Hard Rock.
Oh, no. This is at Buffalo.
Oh, it's in Buffalo?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was in Miami.
I thought you said it was in Miami.
No.
Oh, I just meant the Miami game.
Oh, no.
I'm
sorry.
Then, yeah.
I'm surprised it's only 69 then. That is fitting, though.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, they'll go to any game.
Yeah, I figured, yeah.
What else are they doing in Buffalo?
Sure.
That's great.
I figured a Miami ticket, that'd be like $4 for this weekend.
Weather's still semi-okay at this point, yeah. I think.
What's the day of the week in Buffalo that if you go to Lowe's or Home Depot... or whatever their version of Fred Meyer's is. What's the day of the week you think you walk into the store and you see the most tables being bought? I think it's like a Tuesday, Wednesday. I think people try to get ahead of this early.
Mm.
Well, we broke the last table, Vern.
Yeah, we need a new table.
Got to go to a new table.
Got to pick up our table for the weekend.
Did you see the kid that almost died last weekend?
No.
Bad. He was on the roof of a building. He dove headfirst. He was going to land onto a table. I think the distance it looked, and I'm guesstimating here, 50-foot drop, maybe. I don't want to go higher than that because I'm really bad with distance and measurements, but pretty decent. I would have never attempted this. He tried to do a front flip. He never flipped.
Uh-oh.
And he landed, and the entire group watched it, and then everybody just went, oh.
Oh, is he alive?
And like somebody walked up to him and like patted his shoulder. Hey, buddy. Still with us? And I was like, how did this guy not die?
Dear Lord. Bills Mafia, never change. All right, we'll get into some rivalry talk at the bottom of the hour. Poll questions to answer as well, but it is time for your favorite segment, stat or story, next on The Fan.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Adams, 58% of which are girls. So that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Come on, don't mess.
The Fan.
That's right, folks. Stat or story time. We got some rivalry talk coming up bottom of the hour. No ALCS game today. It was postponed.
Like super early. They knew.
Super early.
Yeah, they had the forecast, and they're supposed to get like between a half and three quarters of an inch.
Oof.
With the heaviest stuff coming down right when first pitch was scheduled for. But it's supposed to just clear out, clear Thursday and Friday.
Did you guys happen to, did you see, so two things on the Nationals.
Sure.
I know we talked about him earlier. Did you see the video? They followed Robles from the outfield.
Baby shark. Doo-doo,
did you see that?
I did. Where they ran out of the center field wall behind him.
Yeah. I thought that was a really cool way of showing the celebration from like a player, an outfielder angle.
Somebody put the Goodfellas music on it. Did you see that video?
Really cool.
Yeah, that was funny.
And then guess whose birthday it is?
Bryce Harper. Happy birthday, Bryce.
Bryce Harper's birthday is the day after the Nationals clinched a World Series berth.
He had the Freudian slip, isn't that they're saying? Freudian slip in his Philly press conference, if you don't remember, where he said he wants to bring a World Series parade to Washington.
No, he said D.C.
D.C., thank you. D.C.
So. Yep.
They're close. All right, what do we got?
All right, ready. First number is 3. Is it the total number of players on the active Washington Nationals roster, that's the 25 that were in the LCS, that have previously been to a World Series?
Ooh.
Or is it the number of rare pythons a burglar was surprised to find in a duffel bag that was swiped from a San Jose parking garage from a reptile expert who was getting his car after giving a lecture at a local library.
Okay. Three Washington Nationals have been to a World Series. Okay, Max Scherzer has been to a World Series. Anibal Sanchez has been to a World Series. I want to say Gerardo Parra has been to a World Series.
As a Giant?
As a Rocky. I think he... No, he well, might not have been on that 2017.
We answer these too quick. We need to try to get these right. You should know this.
I should. I know those two guys have.
What's your gut say about Parra?
I don't think Howie Kendrick has. Ryan
Kendrick
has not.
Was a Dodger. Been was to he? A World Series.
That's right. He was a Dodger.
Is
so
there
he,
more, though? Is there one more?
Zimmerman, no.
Because
Soto,
here's the thing.
No.
Kendrick might have, and you might be right on Parra. That would make four.
That would make four. There could be some random bullpen bro.
Yeah.
That went to a World Series as well. I'll say Story. I'd say there's four.
So you think it's a Story?
I go Story.
I'll go Story as well.
Yeah!
How many?
It is a Story. There are seven.
Seven? Wow. Who are the seven?
Scherzer, Fernando yes. Rodney.
Wait, who is
Tigers,
he?
Long time.
Oh, wow.
A while back. Anibal Sanchez, yeah. Jan Gomes.
Jan Gomes, okay.
Yeah,
that's right, with Cleveland.
Adams. Matt Adams.
Matt Adams, that's right, with the Cardinals.
Yeah, and then Hudson and Dozier were on the Dodger roster last year.
That's right. I totally forget about Brian Dozier. They never play him. I forget he's on the Nats.
So wait, Kendrick was?
He was not with. He was on the Dodgers in 16 when they did not get to the.
There you go.
To the when the
like
Cubs
the year
beat
before.
Them.
So bad logic in terms of names, but we got it right.
Narrowed that thing down.
No, this comes to us from our friends at the Huffington Post out of San Jose. A reptile lover, Brian Gundy, who breeds and sells reptiles through his business For Goodness Snakes, was given a presentation at Martin Luther King Library.
Uh-oh.
So when he was done, he went to the parking garage. He left his duffel bag that had three pythons and a lizard in it, and all of a sudden it was gone.
Ruh-roh.
Now they found two of the snakes in a dumpster nearby. They're hoping to find the other ones. Clearly, yes, police. There was a police report. There's garage surveillance video, but they're looking for a little help. But, yeah, you think you're just going to walk by, snatch a – maybe it's got, I don't know, a cell phone in it, maybe a wallet, and yeah. There's three pythons and a lizard waiting to greet you.
Isn't that like job number one of the bro that brings the animals to the school is don't lose the animals? Like, isn't that job number one? Don't allow them to be unleashed.
I want, if there's a guy listening that's lizard bro, I just want you to know this message. There are at least 20 other students at any school you visit that are just like me, and they don't want the black mamba put in their face
yeah,
as
they
a
don't
jokey
want,
thing.
They don't want that thing. They don't want to hold it. They don't want to touch it.
I had a guy do that, and it. I never come that close to crying in school until that day. Like, he would not, and it was funny. Everybody's laughing, and I'm sitting there like legit...
freaking
hyperventilating
out.
Getting anxiety, but I don't know what anxiety is at that time, so I'm like, what do I do? I don't know what to do. I eat snapping turtle. Pet the snapping turtle. Here's a black mom, you know, not actual black. Here's a big black brown snake or whatever it was, and whatever. It's poisonous, but I'm gonna show it to the class. Put it in the guy's face who doesn't like snakes. That's funny.
That is so true. That's an underutilized thing now on late night talk shows.
The animal person.
The
yeah.
animal guy. I always love when the animal guy comes on.
Yeah, where's Jack Hanna when you need him?
Right. Yeah. And they put the you know, the monkey on the host's head, you know.
Carson was the best
Carson
with
was
animals.
Carson was great.
He was the best
he
with them.
He was great. Letterman was always good with them, too. Like, could they name more of those?
Kramer.
Yeah.
Kramer?
Kramer?
As a Seinfeld reference, remember when he did
the
Merv Griffin
show? Oh, yeah,
the
Merv Griffin show. Yeah, he did, yeah. You idiot. Hawks eat squirrels.
Your next number is 14. 14 is it the number of 300-yard passing games Marcus Mariota has had in his five-year career with the Tennessee Titans? Or is it the age at which it becomes illegal to trick-or-treat on Halloween in the city of Chesapeake, Virginia, after they amended the law for this year?
The fact that any town does a law is kind of stupid to me.
What was it, 13?
14.
14.
14.
That sounds pretty accurate for 300-yard games.
Yeah, what do you think
he's
he averaged
been in the
a
league
year?
For 5 years?
What do you think he averaged a year? Four?
Yeah.
So that would be 20.
For all the injuries, it's not like he's missed an entire season. I think the most he's ever missed is four games in a year. Well, now that I'm saying this, that might be even too high for him.
I feel like when I saw his name most times when he played,
like 225.
Yeah, 225 or 277. It was not a lot of 300.
I'll say Story again. I'll say less than 14.
But hold on. Before you give your final answer, wouldn't sure. this be a total swag move for us to think we're going to downplay how many he's had?
Oh, I'm falling right into my usual hand. This is how I always mess up. And I know that I am. He's laughing, but I'm still sticking with my answer. I'm going story.
You know what? I want to see. Reveal the big news. I'm going to go stat.
It's a story.
Yeah!
Mariota had eight. He's had eight 300-yard games.
Nah, we had good logic. We had good logic.
This comes to us from the USA Today. Now, last year, it became a story that a Virginia city had banned anyone 13 years and older from trick-or-treating. There was an old ordinance that also gave the police the opportunity to sentence jail time for these teens. But
what?
They have
jailing kids for trying
to go
trick-or-treating.
But they rewrote the law.
I'd hope so.
And so now there is a maximum trick-or-treating age of 14-year-old. And all it comes with is a citation. Cops are not out looking for, they're not going to stop you. Basically, it's to keep the riffraff down of stealing pumpkins off of porches and rolling them down hills and all that sort of stuff.
Hey, but that's not trick-or-treating, though, is it?
Well,
so if they're not in a costume, they're just walking around smashing pumpkins in the middle of the road. That's not trick-or-treating.
But that's what they're doing in Chesapeake, Virginia.
Whoever wrote the original law should be thrown in jail for a week. Why would you think, let's throw 13, 14-year-old kids.
It's a class 4 misdemeanor and subject to a fine if you're 14 or older out there looking for free candy.
What's the percentage of any state that if somebody said, you ever had a misdemeanor? And you go, yeah. And they go, can you explain it? And you explain this is why.
That's the misdemeanor.
Laugh at that misdemeanor.
Yeah.
Everybody does, right? Yeah. That tells you all you need to know about your dumb law. What are we doing? We're wasting time on that kind of stuff.
Is an open container a misdemeanor? I'm assuming it is, right?
Probably.
I have a misdemeanor then.
All right, your final...
On the record?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure it's expunged by now. It was a long time ago. I'd hope it's expunged. It was like 14 years ago.
Get a little MIP or something?
Yeah, my first night I was in college at Oregon. Literally the first night I was there.
Well done. I came walking
out of the dorm with a red Solo cup, and there was a security cop bro waiting for me. Like,
did you try to run?
What's in the cups? Like, water. I don't know what the hell.
You were hammered.
Yeah.
Water, officer.
Yes. Let me smell it.
Your final number is 111. Is it the number of rushing yards C.J. Verdell totaled in last year's Ducks victory over the Huskies, 30-27 in overtime? Mm. Or is it the cost in U.S. dollars of the Vatican's new click-to-pray e-rosary, which can be worn as a bracelet and activates when the wearer makes the sign of the cross?
What do you mean it activates?
I need this story.
They had 185 as a team, right?
And he was the predominant back in that game. I don't really remember anybody else having a big game.
Travis Dye didn't play much in that one.
At least not to the tune that I wouldn't think of 70 yards. So I think he might sweep with stories here. I'm going to go story.
I am too.
I think he had more than 111.
Damn
it. 111?
He had 111.
This is where it sucks to have the board up. You can see what he's going to click.
Yeah, follow the mouse. Yeah. 111. All right.
This comes to us from a website called Engadget, engadget.com. And so the Vatican is hoping to attract tech-savvy youngsters to the Catholic Church with the launch of a click-to-pray e-rosary. So you can wear it as a bracelet. It's got 10 consecutive black agate and hematite rosary beads. It has a data-storing smart cross. When you activate it, the wearer can choose to pray the standard rosary, a contemplative rosary, or a thematic rosary, which will be updated throughout the year. So when they make the north, south, east, west sign, that activates it, and it... I don't know, goes to an app on your phone or something like that. So they are trying to get all those tech-savvy millennials to be more aware of the Catholic Church. So you guys in the market?
Dirk grew up in the Catholic Church.
I did not actually grow up in the Catholic Church.
Oh, I thought you did.
No.
What, did you just base a Christian church?
I'm a Lutheran, bro. Get your religious facts right, okay?
The corresponding app will feature personalized religious content as well as health tracking info gleaned from the bracelet. So 99 euros or 110 bucks U.S. will get that if you're looking for Christmas gifts, I guess, apparently for your...
I got an aunt that would probably kind of be into that. Did you see the Pope accidentally root for the Saints.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. He sent out a hashtag Saints thing, and it had the Saints logo next to it. Sorry, man. We got that hashtag taken care of.
Hey, how do you think bettors felt at that point after laying a bet on Jacksonville minus the 2 or 3?
Dude, you immediately get out of that bet and you go with the Pope. You do not bet against the Pope.
I think you hedge it. I think you double your bet, your original bet, and you can put it on the Saints, get your money back, break even.
And who covered and won?
The Saints.
Come on. I mean,
a God, dog won outright.
God's not letting the Pope be wrong on that thing. You kidding me? I don't know if this is... I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's kids out there that are into that kind of stuff and they'll download this app.
I'm not... I'm going to refrain from reading text and commenting on this story.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like a good
There's
idea.
An obvious angle here that it's not fair. To the inventor of this thing. That's all I'll say.
I'm trying to now think in my mind, when was the last time I went to church? It's been a while.
I didn't
usually
have a,
I'm good for like the Easter. You know, hey, he's risen. You gotta go. Pay your respects.
Yeah, I haven't been to church in a long time. I had a bit of a personal falling out with a person. I just had a falling out with the church itself and some things that I was noticing.
You and Jesus are butting heads, man.
Private flights to different locations. So it's like, wait a minute.
Didn't think he could hit a curveball.
All right, there you go. Sadder story every Wednesday.
Peace be with you all.
Peace
That's
be
good
with
philosophy.
You. Yeah. Miss those little shots of wine. You got the wafer cracker.
Did they do that at your church? They didn't do
Lutheran's party, bro.
Down with communion, huh?
They didn't do Lutheran's party.
No grape juice, huh?
No, we do the real thing.
When I was a kid, I went to a Baptist church with my great-grandparents. And I used to stand in the wine line, and every single time, Brandon, go to the grape line. I just want to try
Come
it.
Come on, give me a sip of wine.
Come on, man. It's not the real blood.
Yeah, give me the real thing. All right, let's get to, I don't know what the hell just happened there.
That's really what happened. I would always get yelling, Brandon, get in the grape line.
Can
what
we
are
not,
we doing?
Like, pull any of that or make that a promo, please? just let's leave that be.
Yeah, or Mickey Mouse promo. Yeah. Dirt and spray.
Brandon, get the grape line.
Great legal ID.
Hey, what is a rivalry out there that when you hear it's a rivalry, somebody says, hey, it's a great rivalry. You're not buying it whatsoever. We had one athlete say, what rivalry? We'll explain that, and we'll read some of yours, give you ours. Coming up next. Well, how do you feel as a rival when your rival tells you, what rivalry? Because that happened in golf today. We opened the show with it. If you missed the opening, we were kind of all over the place. But we did talk about this as Brooks Koepka was doing an interview. And a lot of people have tried to pit him and Rory McIlroy kind of as the young faces of golf. The two titans, if you will, going forward. They faced off at the end of the year last year, the FedEx Cup. And Brooks Koepka, when asked about his rivalry with Rory McIlroy, said, you know, I don't really view it as a rivalry. I've been around, 5 years? He hasn't won a major in 5 years. So that's a bit of a slap in the face to old Roars, who, although he's made a lot of money, it's true, he has not won a major in 5 years. But it did beg the question. You brought this up for the show, and I thought it was a good one. What rivalries do we view? And people can text us in 55305. What rivalries do you view when it's brought up and you just kind of laugh? You're like, that's not a rivalry. What the hell are you talking about?
90% of the NFL ones.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Look, I'll give you a few examples here. Everybody, when these games are played, the rivalry goes back to 1952. Yeah, we can do this with every freaking team, and we do. How about the Cowboys and Giants? One of America's favorite rivalries. Well, guess what? In 2 weeks, the Cowboys can play the Eagles. The Cowboys and the Eagles, a great NFL rivalry. You can do this in the AFC West. The Denver Broncos and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Denver Broncos and the Oakland Raiders. The common theme is we just take teams in divisions.
Who they play twice a year.
Yeah, and some of these teams have been in these divisions for ancient years, and we call them rivalries. I know the fans care, but I'm sorry. Most of these rivalries, I don't care about them, and they're really not even rivalries to me.
I think a really good one that got texted in was Colorado-Utah. Somebody chimed in with that because that is the new. And we talked to a Colorado bro the other day about joining the conference and what it's been like. And he said the toughest part is trying to have this rivalry created out of thin air. It just doesn't happen.
That was never a rivalry.
No, it's never been a rivalry. Who knows if it ever will become a rivalry. But they try and pitch that Colorado-Utah, the two new additions they play at the end of the year. But some of the other ones we've had texted in, let's see if we agree with any of these. RJ is claiming, now I don't know if I've ever heard this, and maybe Mariner fan can chime in to further solidify it. RJ said Mariner fans have been told for years that the San Diego Padres are our rival.
I've never heard that in my life.
Especially,
I don't
mean
to take a shot at RJ there. I've never heard that one in my life.
Have you ever heard that, Swigard?
Well, here's, so
with interleague play
with
is what he's
trying
to say.
Interleague play on the West Coast, they match what they would call your natural rival. So obviously in the Bay Area,
the Oakland and the Giants,
and then in the LA area.
Sure.
And so that left Seattle and San Diego, who happened to share a spring training complex facility in Peoria.
That is,
so
that's
how that got started.
Interesting.
So they actually have an interleague series every single year of interleague, no matter what the divisional lineups are.
Sure.
Sad though. Those are two franchises that suck. Nobody cares about rivalries when both the teams suck. It's bad enough when one team's
Shots
really
fired.
Good
yeah.
and the other team sucks. See the one going on right now between our two schools.
Sure.
But it's worse when both teams are really bad.
That's awful. And it's interleague too, and it's kind of makeshift. Now that Swigard mentioned that, it makes sense now the way you explained it. I'd never really heard that before. So he said that one. How about this? And you can speak to this with your Niner underwear on.
Yeah.
Somebody said, Niner fan here. I hate to break it to many people out there, but the Seahawks are not a rival. I can make a better case for the Cowboys, the Rams, and even the Packers.
You can make a case for the Rams because you play in the longest in that division. You could make a case for the Packers because they had many showdowns in the 90s. They had a few in the early Harbaugh era. I can't dismiss the Seahawk one, though. It's a rivalry. Again, this is an example. The Niners sucked for a while. The Seahawks have been consistently good. That's not much of a rivalry. When they're really good, that's a good rivalry. I'm really looking forward to that Monday night game. When is that? November 11th or
yeah,
whatever.
It's all a matter of perspective, though, because I'm still... I still at times have to get used to the fact that the Seahawks are in the NFC West. I can't remember when they did the realignment.
I wish they'd play the Raiders every
they
year.
They are yeah. much more of a rival of the Raiders yeah. and the Chiefs to me.
Yeah, because they were long time in that division.
Yeah, how do you not, as a league, when you reformat everything, that's cool. I don't understand why you still don't, as Swag mentioned with like the Giants and the A's, interleague play from time to time, you jump around. I love that game, that series still goes on. I don't know how the NFL or the NBA doesn't do those kinds of things to keep rivalries going.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
You know, the
right?
NFL, the Seattle Seahawks should, as he mentioned, they should either play Oakland or Kansas City.
Yeah, wear the throwback unis while you're at it, too.
Sure.
So I can have that aesthetically pleasing sight on my TV.
You get a lot of NBA ones that aren't rivalries that people claim are rivalries. I think... majority of the Blazer rivalries are not real rivalries,
yeah.
but we act like they are because somebody on a team pissed us off.
We've had a lot of those texted in, and it's completely valid. Like the Lakers are a great example of that. If you went around and asked Laker fans what their thoughts are on the rivalry with the Blazers,
it
they'd say,
the Blazers.
Huh? What the hell? What? Who, why are they a rival?
But this goes back to that New York Times piece, like the Sacramento Kings view the Lakers still as a rival
yes.
from the early 2000s.
They got jobbed out of a trip to the NBA Finals.
Lakers haven't thought about the Kings since 2003. Just like the Blazers-Clippers. We hated the Clippers because they were whiny B-words. And do we hate them? I mean, we hate them because they're good, but like right. we don't really have a rivalry there.
Last year, they were irrelevant. Even though I know they were the 8 seed, so they were a little pesky, but nobody hated the Clippers. You hated the players on the team.
Even Houston. You more so hate James Harden than
sure.
you do say Houston's a
sure.
rival to us.
Yeah. So this came from Brooks Koepka doing an interview saying, what rivalry? I'm not a rival, Rory.
What's the biggest college football rivalry that personally you just never care about? The biggest one.
Ooh, that's a good question. I will say as of late, although I hope this year is different, I would say it's been Alabama and LSU.
Oh, okay.
Alabama has dominated that game
of
for like
late-
8-9 straight years.
It's Florida State, Miami. I remember growing up when Florida State, Miami, Keith Jackson, they usually played it like week one or two. And that was, I mean, it was Bobby Bowden and either Jimmy Johnson or Dennis Erickson. And those were, I mean, national championship ramifications from those games.
See people texting in Cal Stanford, BYU, Utah.
Stanford's not bad.
Oh, Cal Stanford.
That does nothing for me.
God, nobody.
No, thank you.
I'm talking bigger. Like one of the main ones that for some reason never resonates with you. I'll give you one. I'm going to go against you here. I actually really enjoy watching the aesthetic of LSU-Alabama play. I normally don't care unless something is on the line when the Iron Bowl happens. Auburn-Alabama's never done it for me. I'm not an alum or fan of either of those teams, so...
You don't want to go hump your cousin?
Well, that's a bit much. It's a big stream. But... normally, I don't care about that football game. I'll watch it, but I don't have a lot invested in it.
A good one, too, on the Blazers as well. When the Sonics left, I mean, that was your rival. You had the old I-5 rivalry with Seattle. They used to give out a damn trophy for that thing.
So I went to Costco after work, and I was rocking a light starter jacket of a Sonics one that I've bought a long time ago for my future self. I'm rocking that. I'm checking out. The guy who was standing at the register saw my jacket. He goes, I'm surprised you're wearing that. It looks like it's worth a lot of money now. I'm like, well, I hope they bring him back. It'd be fun to have the I-5 rivalry. And he chuckled. He goes, rivalry? That's never been a rivalry.
What?
And I go, what? And he goes, none of the teams were good when we played each other. Portland would be good and Seattle wouldn't. Seattle would be good and we wouldn't. And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't really want to talk about
it. No, you're not going to get
into
that.
And then he goes, it hasn't been a rivalry since the 70s. When the Blazers won in 77 and the Sonics won in, what, 79?
79. They went back-to-back in 78, 79 against the Bullets both years.
Yeah. He goes, that's the last time that was a rivalry.
That's stupid.
Didn't want to correct
him. Late 80s, early 90s?
Late 80s, early 90s, even into the mid-90s.
Oh, man.
When those two teams, the Sonics went to a finals, the Blazers went to a couple of finals.
And the Blazers were always a good team.
Yeah, get out of here with that. All right, there you go. Some fun rivalry talk as Brooks Koepka says, Rory McIlroy, not a rival. Go win a major. Now I am rooting, though, for Rory. I want Rory to go win one next year and shut him up. As much as I like Brooks. I love Brooks, but I want that to be a rivalry.
It would be cool if he won one and stuck it to Brooks on the TV post-game
thing. When was the last
time
you won one, Brooks?
This is a good one, too.
Sure.
Almost all of Notre Dame's I don't care about. Can we stop acting like every single, like Texas Notre Dame?
Yeah. We've had a lot of people texting Notre Dame USC. So
I like that one.
We've had a lot of those coming in. All right. What do we think of a team potentially cheating in the Major League Baseball playoffs? We have some poll questions to answer. We'll wrap up the show. We'll do it there next on The Fan. Welcome back in. 250, Isaac and Sue coming up top of the hour. If you missed the show today, we opened talking about the Washington Nationals going to the World Series. We even played Baby Shark for you.
We did.
Sorry if it got stuck in your head earlier on, but hey, that was quite the scene yesterday. That Gerardo Parra at bat when everybody's doing it in the stands, that was wild. Bunch of old dudes doing the Baby Shark dance.
I hate to reference a show like four times in one show.
What other Seinfeld reference you got today?
I was actually going to go Office.
Oh, Office, okay.
So do you remember the beginning where Jim, he trains Dwight every time he turns his computer off to want a mint?
Yes.
Do you think there's anything we could do where we do something, like we segue to something, we play Baby Shark for a second after we segue to that, and then one show we don't do it, and somebody goes, Baby
Shark, dude.
And then texts in, what the hell?
Hey, where was Baby Shark, man? I thought we were going to... No, my only thought when I hear that song is, A, why that song? And then B, why can't I come up with one like that? There is nothing that goes into that.
Right, but there's something to be said of creating something so simplistic that becomes so catchy.
I kind of want to come up with my own kids' music now.
I thought you already created this.
I like bacon and football. The kids can sing along to that, right? Kids like bacon and football.
Yeah, those aren't inappropriate things for children at all.
No, whatsoever. So that happened today. There is a note out of the baseball postseason, and that is for the second time now in the playoffs, the Houston Astros have been accused of cheating. So this happened first in Game 5. They won, if you remember, they played the Rays in the first round of the playoffs, got to Game 5. They pounded Glasnow, I believe, was the starter for the Rays, got out to an early lead, never really had a chance. Astros win. After the game, the Rays said that the Astros were stealing signs, and Glasnow said he was tipping pitches. They were relaying all the information. Aha! Bunch of cheaters. Well, it's happened again, and this one comes from the Game 3 dugout situation in New York yesterday, where folks in the Yankees organization were apparently complaining that there was a whistling sound coming from the Astros dugout multiple times throughout the course of the game, apparently trying to signal what they were seeing. So whistles meant certain things, certain number of whistles meant a certain number of things. One alleged executive from another team said, quote, they've been doing it for years. I would consider whistling a tired act, but that goes beyond what is acceptable. If the Astros or anyone else is doing it, it would be considered a break in the unwritten rules. I have not been part of any team that used a whistle from the dugout for pitch type or location.
So I'm assuming that executive is also the executive of a team that's not currently playing baseball.
May be the case, yes.
How much validity do people like you, who follow it all year round, put when these kinds of things come out? The pitch tipping, the alleged, you know, team loses, they're losing in a series. Oh, they're cheating. Does that, like, do most baseball bros just go, oh, yeah, I believe that, or do they dismiss it?
I roll my eyes at it every time because guess what? Everybody's cheating.
Also, I don't think it's cheating.
No, I mean,
that's a hot take.
No, I don't even think that's that hot of a take.
If you're putting a sign out there and people are picking up what your tendencies
are. If you're giving up the signs, that's, if you don't change as a defensive coordinator or an offensive coordinator your hand signals from week to week, teams are going to figure it out. Like, oh, last time he patted his head, they went four wide and ran the ball. Look at that. He patted his head. They went four wide and ran the ball again.
Damian Lillard single-handedly destroyed the Oklahoma City franchise because he realized the tendency of Steven Adams to not want to step up on the perimeter, and he would shoot 35-foot three-pointers and make them at, like, a 60% clip. He picked up on. Is that cheating? Yeah. I would say that he's noticing what you're doing.
Yeah, but somebody had a good one earlier, too, by the way. The Colts, remember when they lost in the AFC title game and they accused the Pats of deflating the football?
Oh, let's not dive back into that god-awful
story.
It's
always the losing team. Hey, what'd you make of the Jalen Ramsey trade? 35% of you say dumb move by the Rams. That's too much to give up. Mm. We also asked, the Titans announced Tannehill as the starter. Will Mariota ever be a franchise quarterback again? Or is he done being a franchise quarterback? 37% of you say yes, stick a fork in him. 36% say maybe, but it depends on the next team. 27% of you say no, just get him out of Tennessee. There you go. If you missed it today, we had the head coach of the Oregon Ducks, Mario Cristobal, on the show. You can go catch the podcast. We also had Kyle Bonagura on the show as well to talk all things college football. Good conversation around the Pac-12. We'll tweet those out at Turton Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. Thank you for being a part of our Wednesday. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.